Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello.
We're together. We're reunited. Grace is sipping a big glass of red wine, and I'm being sober today because I was very lit last week when we were recording in Italy. And drank, obviously, every single day and every single night. So trying to at least stay sober till Wednesday.
You do a good job of, like, covering it pretty well.
When I'm drunk.
Yeah. Like, I think you're just joyful and silly. You don't do that. I have the... And my dad has it so bad. Drinking doesn't suit me past a certain point because I just, like, monologue.
Yeah,
we've had a point where my brain is like so tight, like my brain just cannot stop talking.
Yeah, we've had some really funny podcast episodes in the past where we've gotten so lit and then Grace has had to go back and cut like a 20-minute stint.
Crazy.
Which is funny because I usually am the more talkative.
I hate it. It fills me with such
dread.
Self-loathing and dread. What happens in my brain is I make a point and someone's like, yeah. And then I'm like, they're not understanding the cosmic significance of this point. So I'll bring it back around and say it again in like a slightly different way.
Yeah. I feel like I do that always in general conversations.
But that feeling when you've just been back to back and you can't even face.
Yeah. It's fun. It's so fun though. My boyfriend was like talking about wanting to just drink less. And I was like, obviously, yeah, we all, when we go to the doctor, have to lie about the units of alcohol we drink because it's like 5 in a week.
Yeah.
Which sometimes is fine. I'm not going to drink. But if you have a couple of dinners out with friends, say, you're fucked. But then I was also just like, I don't know. I love it. I love like a gorgeous little, in Italy, at 5 p.m. every day, we were having an Aperol spritz and then going and having aperitivos and having Negroni Spagliatos and like chippies and olives. And
yeah, the Italians,
like, a good time.
Know how to do it. They have such a wonderful lifestyle there. They get everything right apart from breakfast and bread for some reason.
And bread. Bread is so bad.
Why over hundreds and hundreds of years have they not improved their bread?
They throw a fucking basket of days old.
Yeah, they keep the bread in a warehouse when it's just been cooked and then they don't release it to the public until it's been 3 to 4 business days.
Yeah, and it's hard as a fucking rock. And then you're hungry, so you pick it up and touch it and then you're like, no, come on, this is feral. It's like the airplane bun.
Yeah.
You're like, no.
Even the airplane bun is nicer. Like, it's kind of got that glisten and glow. Yeah. It's like a...
Leather it with that butter.
Yeah, it's like a Japanese bakery bun where it's shiny.
Mm.
Yeah, whereas the Italian one, a tale as old as time.
Yeah.
So then I'll pour into the bread basket.
Yeah.
And then eat.
No, then I put it back. Pasta. I'm like, I don't want that. And then
those little, like, you know what I mean? Those like extremely dry bread things that are in the shape of a
I like those.
I love those as well. But that's you just eat and eat and eat.
Yeah.
And then when your mains come, you're like, well, I'll still eat this, but it...
But I'm full.
I'm full.
And then I love using the bread to wipe up the... There's a word for that in Italian.
Is there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To wipe up the rest of the pasta when you finish.
That's really cute that there's a word for that.
I wish I could remember. It starts with the S. Anyway, the Italians have a great way of living. We, on the last day in Puglia, drove up to Bari, drove 3 hours because we were down the south, in the very south, just posted a whole bunch of tips, not to go on about the Instagram close friends, but just posted a lot of Puglia tips on there. And then we drove up to Bari because we watched Stanley Tucci's Searching for Italy Puglia episode, and he went and got assassin's pasta, which is literally pasta cooked in a pan, not in a pot, and they cook it until it's burnt, like completely charred burnt.
It doesn't sound very nice, but I do trust both the Tooch and you.
Well,
that looks really good.
Yeah, it was good. Would I have it? Would I order it often? No.
Is it a bit of a gimmick?
It kind of tasted like university, but in a good way. You know,
yeah. Now you've said it, it looks like university.
So we were gonna get two of those, and then we ended up getting the orecchiette with broccoli, and that pasta is so fucking delicious.
Orecchiette is
underrated,
underused.
What is your favorite pasta shape?
I think like the very fat tubes.
Yes,
you know what I mean, and you get less of them in a dish.
So mine, which I always forget how to say it, paccheri. Which is the one we were getting, in Italy. It might be what you're talking about, but it's not the tubes. It's more square.
That? Oh, yeah.
And we were getting it at Mascusi and having the Mascusi in Milan. But that one is my favorite pasta. And I kept like wanting to eat it everywhere. But obviously Italy is a big country and they have pasta dishes that are specific to each region. So you know how we get cacio e pepe heaps in... Someone laughed at how I said that in the Patreon.
No, I think you said it in a silly way because you were being an American.
Oh, okay.
You're making fun of America.
Okay. I was like, I swear to God, I'm pronouncing it right.
Cacio e pepe.
They have that so much in Milan, but then they don't have that at all in the south.
Yeah, in Puglia, I remember it was all understandably very seafood heavy.
Yes.
A lot of vongole, which I like now and again, but every night, no.
Lots of orecchiette.
Mmm.
But yeah, assassin's pasta wouldn't drive 3 hours for it again.
Can I say something like extremely controversial?
I already know. Go on.
I feel like I've had the best Italian food I've ever had outside of Italy. like there's a
I thought you were gonna say you don't like pasta.
Oh no, I don't really eat pasta at home. Like it's not what I pick for myself. But obviously it's just like carbs and sort. Like it's nice. But I find that this like mythology around you go to Italy and like you go to a little town and you have the best part, like that's just not been my experience.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
I mean, a lot of it,
I've had good pasta in Italy, but I don't know.
Yeah,
I haven't had that like, oh my god, you found a hole in the wall and it's like the most insane.
I agree. I think what they do perfectly is they cook the pasta perfectly every single place you go.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like so al dente and delicious. But then I agree, we had some pretty like average pastas when we were there. We had one that was so disgusting that I got home and threw up. I couldn't even have a gelato afterwards. I was like so upset. It was raw prawn in it.
Yeah. Oh my god. Like, raw prawn. Let's discuss. I was literally about to bring that up. So you and I, you've repressed this from your memory. Went to Mascusi, and I can't think about Mascusi now because
we had.
Our normal favorite, which was cacio e pepe, but it came with a little ball of mozzarella and all these raw prawns on top. And I thought you liked it. I don't think you did.
Mm-mm.
And we just never discussed it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I hate that. What? Like, I just hate it. I hate it. I hate it.
Raw prawns should be illegal.
That is a traditional Italian thing. The raw prawn or raw thing. It's gross.
We ordered one and they didn't say anything about it being raw. It was just like a prawn. It was supposed to be a prawn pasta with fettuccine or something. And then, yeah, it was raw. And I was trying to eat it because I didn't understand that it was raw. I was just like, I don't know what's going on. And I ate so much of it. And then, you know, that feeling where you just can't stop thinking about it. And you're like, I went to go get a gelato. And then I was like, I actually don't think I can eat this. And then we like sat in the car. And then I kept being like, I'm fucking repeating
myself. You feel like you've been violated. You feel like something bad's happened to you.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, I feel sick. I feel sick. Now I'm car sick. Like, such a baby. And then got home and just like threw up, and I was like, that was the worst meal ever.
When and it's like really, like, not to belabor the point, but like, it's just really fishy.
Yes,
you know what I mean, like, it's all wrong. It's all so bad. It's all wrong.
Yeah, but orecchiette with broccoli, good. Very nice. Good.
And like a fennel sausage, if I may add.
What?
Have you had that combination,
fennel sausage
with broccoli and orecchiette?
No. Is that vegetarian? Like, just fennel?
No, it's a pork and fennel.
All right, well, then obviously I have not, but...
In my head, you're fully eating all meat again, but is it
just chicken? Anyway.
Anyway.
Jenna Lyons did an interview with the New York Times talking about how she's going to go on The Real Housewives of New York and just being really honest about her reasoning behind it. So we talked about it briefly. She's the former, what was she, creative director of JQ, and president of J.Crew, and everyone was obsessed with her, and she was so stylish and she was so cool. And then she left in 2017, and she's saying in this that that kind of just meant that she left the public eye in a way. She was still kind of in the fashion girlies orbit because she's so stylish and her house is so chic. I didn't actually know anything about her until last year when I was looking for furniture in Spo and stumbled across her pink couch that I'm obsessed with.
Her house is beyond.
Her house she is
just
so nice.
She just has such immaculate taste. And there was just an era where she was just like the girly, and where people actually wanted J.Crew, which is like so hard to get your head around. Like, you'd go to America and want to go to J.Crew to buy shit.
Yeah.
Because Jenna Lyons was designing it.
And she had a Jenna's edit on the website.
Yeah, and it was just really... I don't even know if it was that good. It was like the Emily Weiss, that very specific era of New York, where everyone just wanted to be sold something by a girl boss. This article was so interesting because everyone after she left J.Crew was just waiting for the next huge thing she did, and then she just never really did. And then from her perspective, she almost was waiting for the next huge thing she did, but she just didn't know. Like, she's almost just waited for something to come along in a way, which I find so interesting for how big a deal she was.
Like, well, I feel like I would be her as well. You would just assume the job offers would come like rolling in. Mm-hmm. So she was obviously sitting back and then just kind of not being proactive about it. And then, but I don't know. It's like, surely she should have seen that stuff was, there was movement happening at other brands and like throwing her hat in the ring. But it turns out the first thing she's done that for is The Real Housewives of New York.
Well, it said she tried to do a TV hosting gig, which I totally missed, and it wasn't very successful. And then she launched a fake eyelashes brand, which I remember that and just thought it was the most random thing.
Well, yeah, she ever. Still has that.
Yeah, because it's just not something you associate with her in any way.
Yeah, fake eyelashes.
Yeah, and she's so style, like, you know, it's like she could have just done a line of t-shirts or like at any business to do with fashion, people would have bought it.
Fashion or furniture.
Or furniture, yeah.
So she was saying that she did this podcast episode, and about an hour into the conversation, one of the interviewers pitched an idea that she should be a cast member on The Real Housewives of New York City. And then she replied, "I'm down." And the New York Times wrote two words that may have changed her life. And then they go on to talk about, like, yeah, why she is so famous in the fashion industry and how she's been to like the Met Gala 7 times and how that's so such in like stark juxtaposition to the Housewives. Yeah, it goes, "The Housewives are a brawling pageant of guilty pleasure, redefining the cultural meaning of housewife. Many of them were in fact divorced. They were flamboyant, chaotic. 2 of them went to prison."
Jenshan Teresa, who you've seen.
Teresa, I was on her honeymoon.
I know.
This time last year.
My wife's famous.
My wife's famous. Can we stay at your hotel?
Yes. So the thing that's crazy when I heard that, basically what happened with Real Housewives of New York is like a New York aficionado, is that it's probably it's probably the most iconic series in the sense that, like, in every other city, the women get on there, they have to act chaotic and crazy. They're not famous. And then they do what they have to stay on the show. And then the show hits a certain critical mass of success. And then they become super boring. And they just, like, have their lines that they're trying to shill for and their public image. And they don't want any drama. And they protect all of the stuff in their personal lives. And it kind of flatlines. But with New York, they just got more chaotic season up. They just seem to not give a fuck about what anyone thought about them in this insane way. So, like, Sonia Morgan, as an example, was married to literally the J.P. Morgan heir. Like, serious, 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 like, money and New York socialite shit. And every season, she would just, like, get her kid off and get wasted and just be running around and, like, smashing glasses and crying and talking about being friends with JFK Jr. and, like, insane. So it's, there's this, like, weird legacy about New York where it's just a strange little unicorn in the Real Housewives franchise. But basically all the women that were in it when it became really famous, they kind of just got almost too old in a way. Like, they're all in their 60s now and they didn't really do a good job of bringing in younger, cooler people, and it just lost its way. So they've done this revamp, and getting Jenna Lyons is, like, the biggest get ever. It's insane, because the whole point of Real Housewives is it's, like, wannabes that can't do anything else and go on the show because it's, like, the only way they would ever be famous and successful. But for her, she is so famous. Like, it's just so interesting that she would agree to do it. So I would assume then that they would have this amazing cast with a bunch of other, like, actual legit cool fashion people. But everyone else in the cast is random. Random. Like, influencers. Random.
She was the one that approached them as well. So, wait, oh yeah. In February 2022, when another gay podcaster pasted...
another
does
gay
that person
podcast.
Have a name? Pasted Miss Lyons' face onto a promotional image of the Real Housewives of New York cast. Miss Lyons shared it on her Instagram story, writing, "Who do I need to call? I'm available." It was a bit of a joke, she said. And then she goes... Still, she forwarded her post to Andy Cohen, the Bravo host and executive producer.
She's chaotic.
Whose Christmas parties she'd attended... Lol.
I love Andy Cohen.
You know what? Yeah, I know. People are so obsessed with him,
I used to think he was, like, benevolent evil, like, but now I'm realizing more and more. I just don't think he is.
When we have Aisha on, yeah, we're going to get Aisha on. She can talk to you a lot about him because she's a Bravo girl. Yeah.
Below deck Bravo.
Yes.
Anything they can't do?
She goes to, like, the Bravo Christmas parties. She's met John Mayer.
Oh, my God.
She'll be...
Lisa? She met Lisa?
Yeah. Fuck, I don't John know. Mayer. Another Below Deck girl was the one who was fucking not Scandinavian, the other one, Schwartz, at that house is where they all get drunk.
Good on her.
You know what, this is a good idea, he replied. And then
he would have been like, all my Christmases have come at once.
Yeah. And then 1 month later, he announced Bravo was in the process of rebooting them and then had her in for a screen test. Of course, she passed the test. She's always been a compelling figure. Slender and tall. Like, this writer is so funny.
Another gay podcaster.
With oversized glasses. Sorry, that was my phone. And a shirt often unbuttoned to her navel.
Yeah, so she... What made me a little sad about this piece, like... or feel a bit sorry for Jenna Lyons, is to go, especially after this long and when the show's been going this long, there's no reason you shouldn't know what you're walking into. And it feels like she really had no idea what she was walking into, and she was so caught off guard, like, the dynamics and the vibe and how the show actually works and what every single housewife who goes on, like Carol Radziwill, is a really good example, because she, similar to Jenna Lyons, was, like, very respected journalist. She was married to JFK Jr.'s cousin. She was best friends with Carolyn Bessette. She was, like, a proper legit, like, celebrity girl person, but wrote this beautiful, highly respected memoir. And she went on and she was really popular for a couple of seasons. People are just excited to see you at first, but to stay on, at some point you're either going to be cast as the villain, or someone's going to dig up something about you and say it on camera and you can't do anything about it. Or like you need to be a smart, savvy person to make the housewives work for you. And you need to, like, be a Lisa Vanderpump or a Bethany Frankel and like own the narrative and craft the stories for yourself and like push shit back on other people so you're not the one that...
So you never look like you're the evil one.
Yeah. Or so yeah. You never let something like some really fucking serious shit, like the people who've gone to prison, like serious shit comes out about people on this show that has real consequences for their lives. Because when you're opening it up, you're literally opening up, you're signing contracts that say anyone can say anything about you on camera, rumors they've heard about you, shit that they've heard that you did at your workplace, with your relationships, with blah, blah, blah. Like, it's very exposing and you need to be ready for it and know, like, have a game plan. And it really just seems from this piece, like, she just stepped into it really naively.
Well, yeah, it says in an early episode, while they're sharing intimate details of their relationship, she declined to talk about the woman she's dating, causing at least one cast member to bristle. My life has put me in the public eye, she said, and if someone doesn't want to be in that with me, I have to respect that.
Don't go on Housewives. Yeah. Like, it's crazy.
So, yeah, I worry about it for her. She also said, which was, like, really honest and... brave that she basically was saying she was coming up with all these reasons to her friend about why she wanted to go on the show, including that it would be good publicity for this eyelash brand. And then her friend was just like, you want to go on it because you want attention. And then she said that it made her realize that yes, after leaving J Crew and leaving that high profile job, all of the party invites stopped coming, all of the like fashion parties stopped happening, and she kind of felt like she lost. It's just going to be a different kind of fame, though.
Exactly. She does it. She seems surprisingly naive for someone who is so successful, don't you think?
Yeah.
Reading this piece.
Yeah.
Even that, like, her saying, oh, the party... Like, she could have so...
I don't want to say easily, but she could have
so easily parlayed that experience into something where she kept getting invitations forever. Like, I don't know. Think about, like Lauren Santo Domingo and Moda Operandi. Like, there's just all these businesses that people have that are kind of just excuses for you to keep getting invited to shit. They're also successful businesses, but... She would have just done a rival J.Crew brand of, like, affordable basics. Because J.Crew's fucking shit now and, like, filed for bankruptcy 2 years ago.
I know. Yeah, it's...
There was a line in there that said... Like, Bravo's getting so much more out of this than she is.
And exactly.
I was just like, that's just it.
That's just in it a nutshell. I know. I feel bad for it. Also, in other Housewives news, Kyle and Maurizio are rumored to be getting a divorce. They released a joint statement saying that's not happening today. But people have been reporting on it. A People exclusive that they'd separated after 27 years of marriage. People don't just publish these things.
Maurizio's slipped it to people because he's trying to get out, and Kyle's been like, no, 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 and taken his phone off him and posted something on his Instagram story saying,
We're working on our match.
It's like a version of that little stick message that Dominic West did.
God, that's right.
We're very much still together.
He's locked in that castle for the rest of his life.
So the Kyle Maurizio rumors have been swirling for many a year. It's intricately tied to the Lisa Vanderpump downfall.
Really?
Basically, the story... This is why the show is so iconic. Lisa became friends with Brandi Glanville, and she was on the show. And then Brandi Glanville went, like, totally rogue, a rogue agent, and went off chops and said on camera that Lisa had told her to bring a copy of, like, People or US Weekly where the cover story was Maurizio cheating on Kyle and to place it down in one of the scenes as if by accident so someone could bring it up and start talking about it. But Lisa and Kyle were meant to be best friends at that point. And that became this, like, huge thing where Lisa was obviously trying to bring in the Maurizio cheating scandal into the show and Kyle, like, blocked it left, right, and center.
That's so naughty.
That was, like, 10 years ago or maybe... like 7 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Yeah. So it's been a thing for a long time. And then there was a bit where Maurizio walked in with like their like 15-year-old daughter or something. And Lisa goes, oh, so this is the mystery young woman Maurizio has been called. Kyle goes, Lisa, please.
Lisa, please.
It's really funny.
Oh my God. Okay. Yeah.
So he's a dirty dog.
Well, that was to be expected, wasn't it?
He looks like... Well, at the start, they seemed so cute.
No, they seem so cute, yeah. And I feel like they are. I feel like The two things can be true, which is what, which is what is crazy about love and life. Like, I genuinely believe that, like, they could be, like, super in love.
Yeah.
And then he can just go out and fuck a 20-year-old. Like, and...
Well, he owns a, like, selling Sunset-esque real estate company. So what can one expect?
And then also just, yeah, not feel it at all. It's so strange.
This is the Faustian pact that Kyle made, was to get extremely rich. She had to let Maurizio do a job where he has access to young, hot real estate agents.
Yeah. So.
Everyone's talking about the, probably still to this day, the best episode of Housewives, the dinner party where Alison DePaul.
Oh my God.
Is smoking an e-cigarette and she says, he will never fulfill you emotionally. And then she says, as soon as your children are grown up, you'll grow apart. And now their eldest is like 18.
This is by Alison, you mean the medium?
The medium that they from bring the show on. Medium.
Yeah, the medium from the show Medium. Who even invited her aunt thingy? Kelsey Grammer's ex-wife, right? Kelsey Grammer's ex-wife invites her around for dinner and she was being so chaotic and Kelsey...
She gets wasted.
She got super wasted.
And she's smoking an e-cigarette, and by an e-cigarette I mean it's in the shape of a cigarette, and when you puff it, it like lights up at the end like it's a cigarette.
And at the table, right?
Yeah.
And then she looks at Kyle.
She hates Kyle.
She looks at Kyle and goes, you're going to get a divorce, to the whole table. And then wasn't Camille... being like, oh, maybe she was reading my energy.
Yeah.
Because, like, they ended up getting a divorce. And now you've seen, have you seen Alison has posted?
No.
Alison has posted.
Bring her she back.
She posted today being like, this is so...
I'm never wrong.
Funny. I have a screenshot of it on my phone. She said, she put up a photo of the dinner. And they wrote, my phone.
Asian Maloof.
My phone is blowing up from reporters now that Kyle and Maurizio have separated. So, here's my comment. I don't wish Kyle ill. I hope she finds what she's looking for. I guess I'm the only one who saw this coming. People kept telling me I was picking up on Camille's divorce, not Kyle. Okay, you armchair psychics can sit down now. And then she, like, ends her quote marks because that was her official quote. And then she wrote, mic drop. Someone sent it to me 39 minutes after it was posted.
I love women.
He will never emotionally fulfill you ever. Know that.
Know that. And she's drinking like literally a margarita.
She has green eyeshadow on.
And that's the episode where Faye Resnick is there. That's like when I watched that, that was the moment I fell in love with Housewives. I was like, I cannot believe what I am watching. Like, yeah. I cannot believe that Andy Cohen orchestrated this dinner. It's Kyle. Kyle's crazy drunken sister.
Faye.
Lisa Vanderpump. Faye fucking Resnick. Kelsey Grammer's
crazy.
Wait,
who's Faye Resnick? She's the one who was...
She's the one who, after the OJ trial, did like a Playboy cover and wrote the book.
Yes.
Like, insane. And then Camille Grammer starts being like, oh, Faye Resnick, the morally bankrupt Faye Resnick. And then Alison fucking DePaul is getting wasted, smoking inside and telling Kyle that Maurizio's going to cheat on her.
Yeah. I remember that episode. I was like, this is crazy. Sometimes when you watch it, you're like, I can't even believe this is happening. Like, the one where... Which is, like, kind of sad. But the one where Taylor is like super lit when they're in the car and the when they're away together.
Yes.
And she's like screaming across the table.
It's like TV like that will never, well, I say it will never exist again, but Sandra Bosby, like that's Andy Cohen is in a league with
the Kardashians. Jesse Armstrong. Need to get in with Andy Cohen.
Yeah, the
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters, May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
But the Kardashians has just never done it for me.
No, it's too boring. I mean, it's too boring if you haven't, if you've seen this stuff. It is like really boring, and then there's moments where they'll be funny.
Yeah.
But it's few and far between now. It used to be way more when the girls were younger, because like Courtney and Chloe and stuff would get lit. Mm-hmm. And when Scott was around more. But these new ones are so boring.
What did you make of the... I've only seen it through TikTok and talking to people who watch it, but Kim, Courtney beefing. It's actually quite sweet, because Courtney feels upset because she felt like the Dolce & Gabbana wedding was like her thing. But they obviously kind of just used her to get to Kim, I think.
Yeah. And then they did the big collab with Kim.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's angry at Kim. That like surprised me, because I thought she would... I thought she would understand her place in the pecking order in that way. Like, she's never been a fashion girly.
I know, but I think she felt upset because I think she, from what she thinks is that Kim used her wedding to get a brand deal.
Yeah.
But it's like, obviously, they just approached Kim.
Yeah, they used her wedding to get Kim to do a partnership with them.
I know, Jade.
I know. Maybe she should have just said no, but I...
Who, Kim?
Yeah.
Yeah, she could have said no, to be fair. I love it when Kim gets really angry and starts screaming at them. I don't know if she's done it. I mean, to be fair, like, a couple of years ago, they were having a physical fight. Kim and Courtney, I think.
Mm.
And Chloe was, like, pulling them off each other, and they were, like, scratching each other's faces. They get feral. Kim's, like, I love it when she gets really... angry and start screaming at them that none of them would have careers without her.
Yeah, it's true.
It is true. That's they need to know their place.
That's why I'm team Kim in the Dolce thing. I'm just like, I get it in other situations, but I just think...
Without that sex tape, where would you all be?
Yeah, and she has made... She is the only reason that any fashion brands want to work with the other sisters.
I know. Jada, that they all got invited to the Met last year, and then this year they just really were just like, look, we're just going to be honest.
It's because there's of no those need. Fits that... Courtney and Travis wore the Tom Brown.
Oh, that's right.
Chloe actually looked quite nice.
They're just not relevant enough.
No.
Obviously.
And Kim is like an icon for, you know what I mean? She's just on a totally different stratosphere as a cultural icon.
Yeah.
So justice for Kim. This is a silly week of topics.
I know. What's next? Oh my god, yes. Harry and Meg. This is like a Patreon.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, the story is crazy. So what happened first? Was it that Spotify cancelled Archetypes, right?
Yes. And then so the 20 million Spotify deal happened. It was a 2-year deal. It was up for renewal. They didn't renew, which meant cancelling Archetypes. And then very soon after that, the head of podcasting at Spotify went on his own podcast and basically said, Meghan and Harry are a couple of fucking grifters, and like, get me drunk one day and I'll tell you about the time I did a Zoom with Harry and he pitched me his podcast ideas. It's like the funniest thing you'll ever hear. And that
he said to try and help him with a podcast idea. It's one of my best stories. Fuck them, the grifters.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's on the, like, he fully just said that and he's still employed by Spotify. It's crazy. So that, I think, opened the floodgates. So much has happened with them in the last few weeks. That opened the floodgates to other people, I think, feeling emboldened to talk about them openly. And this guy at Khan, I can't remember which agency he runs, like United or like one of the big agencies, basically said something like, well, this is the thing that you're seeing more and more nowadays of like these companies have been throwing money at celebrities, but if you're not actually talented, it doesn't pay off for them. For example, Meghan Markle has proven herself to just be not talented or something like really harsh. And that was then followed by this Washington Post thing. So there's almost been like this floodgates have opened of like anyone with a bone to pick in the industry is feeling like they can just say it on the record. And then there was the Dior rumors, which I don't know if you saw those.
No, what's that?
That was really strange. There was a story that came out basically saying Meghan has signed with WME, William Morris Endeavor, or whatever it's called. They're like a big Hollywood agency. Like, it's a big deal that they signed her.
And they signed her when? Like recently?
Like, yeah, maybe 2 or 3 months ago.
Okay.
And then would you remember when she went to the basketball and wore that Stoud suit?
Was yeah.
A little thing. Her agent at WME is married to the Stoud designer.
Okay.
So it was like this whole kind of engineered stuff happening. And then this story came out saying Meghan Markle to do an ambassadorship deal with Dior. And I was like, that is crazy when I saw that. I was like, that is just like,
it's like Johnny Depp and Meghan Markle. Fucking Natalie Portman.
Well, I mean, it's like insane to have Johnny Depp. I'm not like, I would pick Meghan Markle over Johnny Depp 1,000 times.
Obviously,
but it's
yes.
Like that vibe of the Jenna Lyons Bravo thing. It's just like Meghan has so much more to get out of a deal partnership yes. than they have from signing her. I was like, if that happens, it will be just so fascinating. Because I think, and then the next day, Dior came out to WWD and were basically like, we have no idea what this is. We have nothing to do with this. We're not signing a deal with her. Like, it just felt like so many things went wrong for them so
yeah,
quickly.
Yeah, that's really awkward.
It's just so awkward because I'm just like, everyone's just being dicks at this point. I'm like, just let the story be.
I know.
You don't have to come out and be like, no, 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 no.
So this piece is called Harry and Meghan Produce a Hollywood Flop Themselves.
Is this for Washington? Is it Washington Post?
I don't know. It's the one you sent me, yeah, but I couldn't figure out what that was. And
or Wall Street Journal, maybe.
It was like a random link.
It was a Reddit link
to the piece.
Of screen grabbing the piece.
Right.
So paywall.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, I don't know what the fuck this is. Yeah. And just talking about how like 3 years ago, they obviously came to California with like big dreams and big deals. And like, I do obviously get why it's easy to laugh at the kind of... the ideas they had and what they've pitched to Spotify and Netflix. And I do think that obviously when you're going to get a deal this massive, you have to put a lot of work in. And from what it sounds like, they haven't really done that. They kind of took the deals and then were just being a bit lazy with like filling out the obligations. And I get all of that, but I am also like, a lot of it is to do with those fucking streamers throwing money at anyone with a name. Like, what do they expect is going to happen? Mm-hmm. Giving them like a $20 million deal with no deliverables.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so stupid. I would be fucking getting a Washington Post article about how lazy I was if someone did that for me.
Agreed. I completely agree. I think it's so interesting, like the way this... So this story, Wall Street Journal story, to repeat the headline because it's so insane, Harry and Meghan produce a Hollywood flop themselves. It's basically a story that is really targeted at like... yeah, mocking how out of touch and like untalented they are and how they had all this potential and they didn't do anything with it. Whereas, like you say, a very similar article was published recently about like Phoebe Waller-Bridge getting $60 million from Amazon and not having produced a single thing. But like, because it's Phoebe Waller-Bridge and she's not like an easy punching down media target, that story, nowhere in that story is it a reflection? She hasn't produced anything in that time.
Yeah,
in
that's
3 years.
Fucking mental.
And you could write
at least
a story
we've had
saying
this little docuseries.
Yeah, at least they had. Which was like the biggest show. I mean, yeah. We're talking about Netflix in a second, but like,
oh yeah.
At least she made Archetypes. Like, yeah, like that article wasn't framed as like, what has she done in that time? And like, you know, lazy, 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 just taking money and leaving. What a fucking grifter. Like, there wasn't a snarky thing about they try to do a Tomb Raider reboot, which is like in the same vibe as some of the stuff Harry and Meghan have pitched, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're just boring reboots. Like, that's the whole thing. So, like you say, it seems like these companies are using Harry and Meghan as, like, a diversion tactic to get people off their back for being extremely reckless with their investment.
Yeah. I mean, these are funny. So, other proposed project seemed designed to replicate successful shows already on Netflix, such as a sitcom described as Emily in Paris, but about a man.
That's my favorite one.
And a family-friendly TV show about gay characters that felt similar to the fan favorite Heartstopper. Netflix said no to both. People familiar with the matter said. Also, the other thing that I love is that when she was... So she didn't have much to do with Netflix because she was so busy working on Archetypes. But with Archetypes, she had 17 producers. Imagine what After What Drinks could be if we had one producer. 17 of them.
Whenever I think about that, I
17
died.
People in this room right now.
17 people.
And then they brought on Gimlet Media, which helped Megan compile a list of potential guests. And then Spotify helped to build a podcast studio in their mansion. And then Megan wrote, this is the funniest part, Megan wrote Taylor Swift a personal letter asking her to come on the podcast. The pop star declined through a representative.
That's really, like, Megan would have read that coming out and just cried and cried. And, like, there's just information you want no one to know.
Who told?
Who told? A disgruntled Spotify producer, one of the 17.
Yeah, because also they say in this other piece that Archwell employees and associates say the company often lacks direction and that its founders at times seem surprised by the work required to finish entertainment projects. Most potential initiatives follow a similar route, big idea, subpar execution. In May last year, the head of communications at Archwell and the head of communications at the couple's nonprofit foundation stepped down. In the following month, several others followed, including the company's head of audio and Mandana Dayani, the president of the entire operation. And then in March, the film producer hired to oversee Archwell's content slate on the strength of credits such as the Oscar-winning Promising Young Woman, left the company to return to his prior job.
This is the thing that we have to just be able to sit with as complicated, nuanced humans, is that a lot of people stop working for Megan and Harry.
A lot of people stop working
in the UK and now in the US. Yeah. People leave
There's two more. Yeah. Archwell's head of marketing parted ways with the company, as did its head of scripted content. Like, everybody leaves.
Everybody leaves, and you don't leave a cushy job where the people are, like, benevolently useless, but you're getting paid.
No.
You know what I
that's
mean?
That's the best kind of job.
Yeah, it has to be scat behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And my favorite, we need to talk about Putin in a second, an unexpected cameo from Vladimir Putin himself, but this idea for their Netflix show, Harry and Meghan are developing a TV show for Netflix called Bad Manners, based on Miss Havisham, a Charles Dickens character from Great Expectations. The prequel will recast the lonely spinster as a strong woman living in a patriarchal society.
Love, I'd watch that, honestly.
Though it's unclear whether it'll get the green light from Netflix. To be fair, that could be done in, like, a Wednesday Adams-esque way, and people would lap it up. This is the problem. I'm, like, I'm a bit disappointed in Meghan, because I really... Harry is, like, not fit for purpose. Like, he is not built to exist in society in any way.
No.
He's built to be behind those palace walls, smiling and, like,
Princess Diana is his mom.
Yeah.
Leave the man be. That's all he needs to do.
He has been raised in, like, a fucking Edwardian style household. He is not meant to pitch original podcasts. No. That's not what he's made
for. He's not meant to be on a podcast. He's not meant to, like,
yeah,
listen to podcasts. He's not meant to even know what a podcast is.
He shouldn't know what a podcast is. He should barely know about Netflix.
Yeah.
So it all falls on Meghan. This is her forte. This is her background. She's sold the dream. I imagine she's a very good salesperson. I imagine she was very good in the pitch meetings, getting those deals over the line. I really thought she'd have some, like, good ideas. When you're, like, at that level where Netflix say, we will throw money at whatever project you want to do, just tell us. Like, you just got to read a like, look at Reese Witherspoon. You just got to read, like, a moderately popular women's fiction book and say, let's adapt this with
so many
an all-star cast. Like, yes. It's that whole Fran Lebowitz thing about, like, getting your foot in the door in Hollywood is the whole thing. It's not that hard. Like, it's not that easy, but it's not that hard. If you're handed programming from Netflix, how can they not have come up with something better?
As you say, so many projects, so much of everything we see is adapted from a fucking book
mm-hmm.
that someone has just read yeah. And thingied it. And, like, all of these production companies have people working to, like, get in with the book editors to read the manuscripts before they're published so that they can get the film rights before everyone. It's like, surely Meghan could hire someone.
And with this fucking team she's assembled, the fucking...
someone to read scripts. I would make that be my dream fucking job. Could you think of a better job?
Yeah, and for most people in Hollywood, the problem is the resources to get something, like, started, like, greenlit, over the line thing. If you have all of these producers and people who are working at Archwell Productions, and it's like, all you need to do is say, I like this book, it's never been adapted into a movie before, get the promising young woman guy to find a screenwriter, get the someone to find some cool young director who hasn't been tapped before. Like, you have all of the pieces. Like, this is why people have a problem with them, because it just comes across as laziness. Because the average, like, Joe Blow on the street would do more with a $100 million Netflix deal.
I got sucked into listening to a Case File episode again. Yes,
and the fucking, the scuba diving murder.
Yes. Adapt show. That. Or the one that I listened to on the plane back from Italy. Guess what happened? A man, really poor man, won the lottery, won $30 million US dollars.
Someone's gonna try to kill you.
And yes, went on TV, because they like make, they also, it's so crazy, and they don't make you go on TV, but in Florida you have to announce that you've won, and your name and everything and how much money you've won.
They're just so now, for trouble.
Yeah,
that.
So now they've like put the law back so you don't have to announce for 90 days, but you still have to, but you have 90 days to like get your affairs in order and like leave the country and cut off everyone you know. And with this, $30 million had went on TV, was like, I'm so stoked. This like lovely man. And he was from like a super poor background, like hadn't really been to school, couldn't really write, like read and write very well. Goes on TV, is just like this amazing, super generous. All these people from his neighborhood start coming around asking heaps of money. He starts giving everyone money. This woman called Dee Dee sees, I can't remember what she saw. I think she like, I don't know. She saw some like panel discussion or something, found out about this guy, goes to his town, manipulates him into giving her power of attorney.
Womanly wiles.
And then murders him.
Oh my God.
And I was like, this needs to be adapted. Where is this so story rude. On
Shari Ramuson, a woman who kill yes. like highbrow series?
Yes. A woman who she fucking killed her. What was it? Her ex-boyfriend's new wife. New
girlfriend, and she bit her in the arm. And then she was a cop.
And then she was a cop, and the police in her department started investigating the case, like, 20 years later, and she's really high up in their department, and they bring her and interrogate her about the crime, and they found her fucking DNA on this woman's arm. Like,
and they play the whole fucking tape in the episode. And
where
the,
is when this? The penny dropped, on like, Netflix.
It's not that hard.
It's three not that episodes. Hard.
Like, if you have this, you're, yeah, so this is where the frustration comes from, and I get it. They're being silly. They're being silly writing these, like, over-dramatized press releases about car chases that, like, didn't really happen, and then not following through with this shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Exactly.
I just think they're doing themselves no favors. This will be taught in university as, like, every like what not to do in PR, how two people have squandered like public affection. They just had I don't feel strongly in either direction. I think, like we said, a lot of this stuff is just like they have become an easy target for the media, but like everyone who wants to love them and support them and be on their side and like support like the very real allegations of racism that Meghan made and, like, the very outdated... Like, you know what I mean? They just continue to make it difficult for people to, like... They make it hard for their fans to, like, yes. love them because
and, yeah.
they're acting so entitled and silly.
Yeah. In Naples, these, like, two Americans started talking to us when we were hungover after the wedding, eating pizza on the street. They were sitting beside us. And then they were, like, I guess because the boys, I was with a British... They were just like, what do you think about Harry and Meghan? And I tried to have their back and everybody else at the table were just like, yeah. even the boys, I was like, didn't know you guys had a fucking opinion. But they were like, yeah, they're just attention seekers, aren't they? And I was like, oh my God. And then it's just really hard to even, because every time you try and be like, well, the institution is like really racist. It would have been really hard to like come into that. They're just like, well, why are they going on Oprah? I don't know. Yeah. I'm just like, but anyway, so this, before we need to just mention this. Last week, Bloomberg reported that one podcast idea seriously mooted by Harry was to make an entire series about childhood trauma, which is nice. Yeah. Not just his own trauma, because he has obviously got enough. This Guardian writer,
snarky.
Everything from the photo they used. Have you ever seen a worse photo of those two in your life?
It's yeah.
Because obviously
pushing the anti-monarchist agenda too hard.
Yes, because he's obviously got enough mileage out of that elsewhere, but the trauma of a group best described as world baddies. As Bloomberg wrote, the concept of the show was as follows. Harry would interview a petition of controversial guests such as Vladimir Putin, Mark Zuckerberg, and Donald Trump about their early formative years and how those experiences resulted in the adults they are today.
Like, he's literally living in a fucking dream world. Like, he's going to sit down with Vladimir Putin and be like, what happened in your childhood that made you like a world villain? Who's too busy, like,
bombing fucking Ukraine.
Children in the Ukraine. Like, it's so... This is what I mean where it's, like, slightly tragic, but this is the problem with them is, like, because they didn't spend time and sit and figure out... I think this is the fatal flaw that they've made is, like, they're trying to tiptoe between two camps, and it's, like, they come out and criticize the royal family and they talk about how it's this, like, completely outdated, like, institution that doesn't fit with modern Britain and all these examples, and everyone goes yes and gets on board. And then Harry's interviewed and goes, like, I still love the monarchy. I support the monarchy 100%. They're fighting for their kids to be called prince and princess, even though they don't live in America. Like, they want the sheen of the monarchy while also trying to, like, criticize it, but not really criticize it because they still want it to exist. And then they're trying to, like, join in a conversation and condemn things that are rooted in, like, classism and privilege questions while still wanting to maintain, like... There's all these stories in these pieces about them, like the grifters thing, about them, like, meeting someone once at a party and then, like, wrangling them into using their private jet and staying at their beach house for weeks at a time. Like, they love...
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
Like, I didn't see that anywhere.
Yeah. Or maybe it was on TikTok I saw it.
Yeah.
But it was...
I mean, they didn't... Remember they hadn't met... What's that guy's name who let them stay at his house?
Yeah, Tyler.
They'd never met him.
Yeah.
And he let Meghan and Harry stay at his house when they escaped the UK and went to LA.
Yeah. And that's kind of random.
Oh, obviously. I'm going to give up my fucking mansion for two randoms.
But yeah. So I don't know what's going to happen. I do feel like Meghan has distanced herself from Harry publicly, which... to me doesn't bode well.
How? When?
So, like, the first thing was the coronation. I totally understand her not wanting to go to that because, like, that would have been fucked. But, like,
yeah,
that for him is, like,
yeah, he so obviously doesn't want to go alone. Yeah, you can't just, like, not go to the awkward family functions.
Yeah, when you're, like,
married,
very responsible for the dynamic. Yeah. Through not through, like, you know what, yeah, I mean? But, like...
You just have to, like, you have to... She had to at least flow into the UK to support him. Like, how shit would that have been?
Well, now he's at the UK during the trial and she hasn't come out for the trial and she hasn't come out for the thing and she's been, like, photographed on these hikes doing things with other people and, like, there's this whole... thing about, like, WME rebranding her in this way that's, like, away from the negativity associated with Harry. And I don't know. I could just...
Dumois did say...
Did they?
Someone asked them about Meghan and Harry, and she said if they're separating, and she said Dumois said the rumour mill is getting louder or some shit.
Really? I think Spare backfired in this way that neither of them expected. And I think, I don't know, I'll be really sad if they break up.
I know. Would have been such a mess of a romance if they break up.
Yeah.
Because the only thing they have out of this whole thing is, like, that love story.
Yeah.
Which, as you say, now they don't even seem to be... Well, I feel like they haven't been seen publicly since that, like, car chase thing.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that backfiring and people arcing up caused, like, a fight behind the scenes. Because it's like, who... wanted to go public about that? Who was pressing that?
I feel like it was Harry. I think he has got, like, increasingly, like, that...
Increasingly in the, like, media.
Yeah, just increasingly kind of, I don't want to say paranoid, but, like, just very in that settling scores and wanting to, whatever. And I think she would just want to be making a point of, like, carving out this new... taking what they have and carving out this new path for themselves, like, for themselves, I guess. But I also think it would be quite, this is, like, an interesting thing as well. I'm just totally speculating here, but, like, if you meet someone and it's the context of, like, it's Prince fucking Harry, you know what I mean? And, like, the power dynamic in that is crazy because it's, like, this insane world that you're being brought into, and, like, you would just meeting him, I feel like you would just think the sun shone out of him and like you just couldn't see any flaws. And then to be plucked out of that, someone that's like never worked, never had a job, doesn't know how to, like,
probably clean.
Yeah, like probably is like very infantile in a lot of ways.
Mm.
And to pluck him in a and world also like the America, trauma
of losing his mom and yeah, all of that stuff, like without probably without access to therapy, like he's probably going through that stuff that we went through years ago, like now. And it's probably not, he's probably coming to this, like, when he, like, said about learning about having, what is it? Conscious unbiased or
whatever. Yeah.
And it's like, great, but Megan's probably just like, chop, we're chop.
Exactly. And then I'm like, if you then were in this house with him and you've got young kids and he, like, can't come up with a podcast idea. He like can't come up with a thing. You know what I mean? He's like hung up on these big, highly expensive legal court cases. But you know, I can just see how like you'd get the ick.
Yeah. Big ick.
I could just see her one day waking up and just like looking at him in his beads, like shuffling around, like muttering about being phone hacked in 2006.
And how that affected his relationship with Chelsea. With
Chelsea Davey. And you'd just be like, God.
So, like, pale?
Yeah. I don't know. She's obviously she's always been an ambitious girly. I can just see that, like...
He's holding her back.
Yeah.
She needs to just relaunch Instagram and the Tig.
That is just burning a hole in her pocket. That launch post is ready to go.
Yeah. It's been in the drafts.
She's waiting for the right time to fire.
Okay, we actually have to go.
Yeah.
But some girls will be pleased to know we jumped back on the Idol train.
Yes.
And a big review incoming.
Is coming.
On the Patreon.
Yeah.
We love you.
Love you and goodbye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.